Diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
Live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's time for more Suds.
Welcome, everyone, to another Suds segment where good beer meets bad radio. They both have a little too much to drink, and that night, radio finds out what happens when good beer goes bad, and I mean really bad.
Are you questioning Dave's English skills once again, or his ability to cut and paste?
Hey. I got no thoughts.
Yes, Mike, to both.
Well, I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and joining me at the table today is good old boy Parker.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Hey, hey. Good old boy Mike.
I'm here, and I am mostly responsible for my comments and opinions.
Mostly. We'll see. Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, banned once again.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Got him.
Reverend Mark, hello.
So good to be here and to celebrate real beer this time.
Yeah. Good old boy Dave. Juicy.
Juicy Dave?
Yes.
You forgot about the Daisy Dukes already.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I'm so sorry.
I'm glad to get that out of my head again.
Well, I'm good old gal Juliana. And today, recently, I should say, the Craft Brewers Conference came back to Nashville.
Woohoo!
Yay! Brewers from all over the world descended upon the Music City for product demonstrations, seminars, and lots of beer.
And pedal taverns.
Oh, God, my. Can't forget those. Every brewery in town hosted special events, brewed special beers, including collaborations, and generally rolled out the red carpet for their out-of-town colleagues and friends.
Now, this might have been the only time in the history of Lower Broadway, that's the main street here in Nashville, downtown Nashville, when the drunken bachelorette parties in boots and shorts were actually outnumbered by bearded guys in work shirts and Daisy Dukes.
Mm.
Who were also drunk.
That's a scary thought. Well, along with the collaboration beers brewed locally, another awesome benefit of CBC was all the amazing out-of-market beer and our local beer stores stocked. It's always a good day when you walk out to your favorite beer shop with a four-pack of Sip of Sunshine from Lawson's Finest Liquids.
Which is not something that is usually available in
no,
this market. So,
but yeah. Very welcomed.
Very, very
nameless.
Welcome. Yeah, everything came in fairly short supply, but many of Nashville beer stores, true to their nature, did a terrible job of showcasing the beers.
That's just beer.
So it was pretty easy to slip in and grab some. So today we're going to try three of our local collaboration beers and three out-of-market beers that were here that we've never tried before. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Mark, please give us today's lineup.
Man, look at this lineup. So here are the beers that we will discuss and rate today. The first will be from Bearded Iris Brewing in Nashville, Tennessee, and Pint House Pizza in Austin, Texas, and Yakima Chief Hops with Yakima Chief Hops. We will be sampling their Payout Double IPA. And then we will have the Barrique Brewing and Blending in Nashville, Tennessee, and Bierstadt Lagerhaus in Denver, Colorado. Their, can't wait, Maibock. Maibock.
Not your Bock.
And then Jackalope Brewing Company in Nashville, Tennessee, and Mad Tree Brewing in Cincinnati, Ohio, offering a phone-a-friend pale ale. All right, the last three from Arcane Ale Works in Largo, Florida, is Ninja Star Kisses Double Dry Hop Nipa. Oh, my. That's a mouthful of citrus goodness, I'm sure. Then Schilling Beer Company in Littleton, New Hampshire, and Perrin 11.
Petrin
11 Degrees Paltamavi Lager. Got that right?
Yeah. Yep. Close enough.
And then last but certainly not least is Wallen Pock Pock. Is that right?
That is
Ball
no,
pack.
No, that is so wrong.
That was 100% correct.
Wallen Paw Pack.
Wallen Paw Pack. That's what I said. Wallen Paw Pack Brewing Company in Holly, Pennsylvania. And we have from them the Godsickle Polish. Is that right?
Krasinski.
No. I'm going with Godsickle.
Well, you know what? From now on,
I read it Godsickle because it just seemed to be that way.
That's the best dessert ever.
I like that.
A Godsickle.
Nothing like on a hot day having a nice cold Godsickle.
It's a religious spatter.
Cut Reverend Mark off now.
That's what we had at summer camp. What are you boys drinking? Just a Godsickle. Yeah.
We put the holy water in the freezer and came out with a Godsickle.
Oh, my God.
So we're having a Grodziski Polish-style smoked lager. Can't wait for that also.
Yay. Whew. Well, thank you, Reverend Mark. That was beautiful. Gunna Point Parker, why don't you give us the suds ratings?
We'll be discussing and rating these beers with a suds rating plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud. 2, was that a belch? 3, what a relief. 4, a body should really not make those sounds, Mike.
Now, when I came up with that, I was thinking anticipatory of you.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. 5, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Very well done. I really did have a friend that I would say that on a routine and regular basis. A body should really not make that sound.
Yeah. You know, well, so, that reminds me of my best friend back home.
Yeah.
He'll clear out a car.
All right. Well, let's get to it. Beer number one, we're going to... Are you okay?
I've never been so excited to hear beer number one.
He's sweating over here.
So we have to... I'm going to put some context in this because these are probably not going to broadcast in the order we've... So we, on our typical production days, we record more than one episode. And the pairing of the episode we had before this... was a Summer of Questionable Decisions episode that featured a lot of just...
questionable things.
The best products. Episode of 2023.
Delicious. So, delicious all natural.
We had a great
flavors.
Time. All I have to say is there was no beer involved. So when she said, let's taste beer one, I'm like, yes, finally we're going to taste beer.
And speaking of that, we're going to be local here and pull one of the collaborations between Bearded Iris here in Nashville, Tennessee, and Pint House Pizza in Austin, Texas. Hmm. Their payout double IPA.
Do we drink now? Is that what?
Yes.
Yep. Finally. Yep. So the payout is a 7.5% DIPA.
Hmm. So the style that we're going to be consuming all the beers today. So sometimes we taste in advance and we capture a lot of loquacious, you know, tasting notes. But today we're actually tasting all these in real time. You're going to hear it, you know, in our
lips smacking good.
Yeah. So super, super bitter. Like a lemon peel citrus.
It's very floral on the finish.
What's the hop they're featuring?
It's YCH 301.
301?
And
tastes
HB,
like 302.
And HBC 586.
I thought it was 529.
That's the one I thought it was. No.
It's hard, right? Those are tough.
There's
they're
a big
close.
Difference, but they're close.
586, 529. I mean, they're basically the same hop.
The finish is a little too bitter and abrasive for me.
Yeah, this is a hard ride.
Yeah, it doesn't have any...
I don't mind it.
malt. I mean, and these typically don't have a real malt.
When you're showcasing all these hops, yeah, it's tough.
Now, no. If they made a hard seltzer version of this, Mike, what...
I would watch you enjoy it all.
Or a slushy.
This is, it just feels like there are a lot of things fighting with each other in this. It has some of the same effect that we've had with a lot of collaboration beers, which is, I'm sorry, but you guys have not made this before and you need to fix it. You know,
I hate it when Mike and I agree. Yeah. But like, that's my thing with a lot of collabs is like, it's not the best work from either brewery. Yeah. A lot of times, you know, I think it's okay. I mean, I don't hate it, but it's a little bit rough in the beginning.
I'm getting a lot of guava and mango though. Yeah. Like
pure guava.
Yeah. There's a lot to it.
Peel in those fruits though. Yeah. It's not so much you're getting the sugar and the fruity part as you're getting the mango peel and that bitterness
into
component.
The pith. Yeah.
So I'm getting like fresh flowers in the bag of it.
Bag of fresh flowers.
Yeah. Not right. Flush flowers.
Ooh, so fresh flowers. Those are.
I'm not getting as much of the creaminess that you typically get in a deepa with
flowers with sandpaper.
You know, with the oats, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't get as much of that. I mean, it's a little there, but I think that would maybe improve it
a this little. Is a swing and a miss for me.
I could drink it.
I know we know both these breweries, and I know both of them just can absolutely knock it out of the park. I just this was not a payout for me.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you see how he used the name of the beer?
Yep. He didn't plan that either. That was top. Yeah, that was
straight executive up producer.
Off the cup. Yeah. Oh,
wow. Yeah. Ooh, she rolls her eyes.
Pinky out, Mike. Pinky out.
Wow. Yes. There. We give it to you. Uh-huh. Well, we are going to rate the payout from Bearded Iris and Pint House Pizza a 3.
I look forward to what they're going to make next together. You know, I think that would be the way I would describe it. Yeah.
And maybe part of it is it's a new hop, you know, and they weren't quite sure how to showcase it.
Yeah.
Which is always like,
should have went with 329.
Yeah. Maybe. But it's always hard when you're, you know, trying something new.
I heard from a lot of people had a great time at Bearded Iris that week.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back with more in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf. Iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of the rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our
eyes. Welcome back, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well. Today we are drinking beer.
Yay!
Yes.
And lots of it. Remnants of CBC Nashville. So we just finished with the first beer. We're now going to move on to the second one, which is a collaboration between Barrique in our backyard here in Nashville, Tennessee, and Bierstadt in Denver, Colorado.
Bierstadt, home of the slow pour pills.
Oh, yes. It is their 7.5% Maybach. So Bill and Ashley from Bierstadt came out to Nashville in February, made some wort, had a good time with the nice guys at Barrique, and they decided to come up with the Maybach. It spent 11 weeks lagering in frigid temperatures in neutral oak barrels.
Define frigid.
Oh, I almost said something that got me in trouble.
And this Maybach is a waft of springtime with its malty sweet aroma and floral grassy layers. Okay. Thoughts, guys?
Creamy.
Love it.
I think it smells like a stick of bubble gum.
Creamy.
Well, in knowing that they did a double decoction on this.
Whoa, you can't say that on this show.
There are children listening.
Oh, Mark?
Gosh.
You're a bastard. There's a lady in the room. Can
I, that puts you're just pushing that envelope. Radio.
Can I interest you in a double decoction? First thing,
seen that movie once, I think.
The Sip, Suds, and Smokes porn movie.
Wow.
Yeah, honey, but I'm going to have to charge you double.
To the left. To the right.
Knock, knock, knock. The pizza guy's here.
Okay.
Got some beer and some godsicles.
Well, I have to say that probably one of my favorite My Box was made by Reverend Mark that I've had.
Thank you.
Really knocks this style out of the park. And I've had many, many batches that Reverend Mark's made.
Oh, yeah.
And I always come back, and that tends to be a bit of a reference guide. There was another My Box that was from a German brewery in St. Louis.
Urban Chestnut?
Yes, Urban Chestnut, that I really loved. Their My Box.
Their My Box was good. Dovetail.
Yeah.
Chicago makes a really good My Box.
That's another good My Box that I've had commercially. Doesn't really, it's not packaged, you know, nearly as often as it should be. And it also has turned into like a seasonal component that you see for, 3 weeks. You know, I wish we would shrink the Marzahn, 12-week window and make that like 4 days.
Right.
Yeah. And actually have a longer My Box season would be fine by me.
Well, that was it's a May beer. You know?
Yeah.
Like that was the first beer of spring.
And it's been lagering us, ostensibly all winter.
Yeah. Like it may be a good beer and it may not be a good beer.
Yeah.
It's usually, my first encounter was with years ago with Blackstone Brewery, put out a really wonderful My Box in May. And that's where I started wanting to drill in on it as a home brewer.
So the only thing that I'm having trouble with is these My Box is that it's kind of like
your cup's not big enough.
Well, it's delicious and I enjoy it, but at the same time, I get a grainy, chalky finish and it dries my mouth out.
It is supposed to naturally have a bitter finish to it. Almost, you can almost describe it as burnt.
Yeah, kind of like that malt right flavor. On, just
yeah,
you know, it takes over, but it's not.
That's on spot.
But it's not the full malt. No. You just get the burnt flavor.
It's not like
malt
a red ale,
end.
You know. Yeah. Burnt, you know, caramel, yeah,
kind of roasted
or amber. Yeah. This is super creamy.
Yeah, that's just style.
Yeah. We used to brew these as home brewers and then set 5 gallons aside and crash it down to 27 degrees Fahrenheit and separate it.
Oh, make an ice
box. And make an ice box out of the My Box. And we would push it out of one keg into another and have, out of 5 gallons, we'd wind up with like maybe 4 1/4
Those
gallons.
Those were good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But it's the key is in the lagering. And I think, some of what you're tasting, maybe it just didn't lager long enough. I don't know, but it says 11 weeks, but you can't lager these too long.
No.
I love these.
Oh, you're right.
And, I've had a lot of lagers at Barrique and, they really have such great technique, for German style beers there. And I think this is just a fabulous collaboration. I don't know Bierstadt. I remember having some of their beer when we've been in Denver, but honestly, I just don't remember a whole lot of the flavor profile. I remember the slow pour thing. Yeah.
Yeah, with that skinny glass with the
correct
cream.
Yeah, the Art Deco.
The cream head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That glass, part I remember. Yeah. But I think this is fantastic. It is very on spot for, style. We were talking actually before recording, and I really love what Barrique did during CBC. They actually took 4 or 5 days, and they actually had a themed beer style for each of those days.
Yeah, they did. There was Lager and Friends. There was the West Coast.
West Coast Night, where they had, they were pouring, Pliny and Blind Pig from Russian River, and like just a ton of like, and they had actually brewed a West Coast, their very first West Coast IPA.
Wow, really?
For it, and it was really good too. Mm. We tried that.
Mm. Yeah, with the was the Sapphire cut?
No, it was called, I forget what it was called, but it was there. I think it was maybe just been called West Coast, but it was a really nice West Coast IPA. And then they had Camp Roush beer one night, and it was all smoked beers.
Wow.
And it was, places like from Pennsylvania and like Oregon, like Washington State, like pretty much around the country. Atlanta, you know, they had a couple of places
from
there.
What a great idea. I really hope that somebody steals that at the next CBC and actually becomes a recurring theme, you know, in each city.
Yeah. It was great for what they did. Granted, Barrique is not a huge space, but they made the most of it. The parking was reasonable. Yeah. They had their backyard kind of opened up.
Yep.
But also, they paired good food with each day. You know, mm-hmm. so they were very thoughtful in that. You know, like, for instance, the lagers was with Pit Barbecue, and the Westies was with Nashville Hot Chicken. The Roush beer was with burgers, and then the last day, which was May 10th, was their mixed culture mixer, which was a sour extravaganza.
I bet that was awesome.
With pizza, and it just was so well done. And I mean, everyone and their mother at some point was they were
as they should be. Yeah. And I think it's, again, just a really wonderful idea.
And it's like she was saying, like, Barrique's not big. So like half of the entire space, because every beer they make ends up in a barrel at some point in this process. So like you're in line and you're drinking and you're just, there's floor to ceiling racks of barrels all around you. And it was just a really cool environment to drink beer in. And they make awesome beer, so
. And it gave me the feeling that I was back in Denver at Crooked Stave.
Beautiful.
it was really cool. Well, anyways, we are going to rate this Barrique and Beer Stud Maibock collaboration a 5. It's beautiful,
really great beer.
Yes, absolutely.
Joel, you got my number. You know where I live. And I know you can deliver. So
yeah, and we're right up the road too.
Yeah, we got room for pallets.
Yeah. Here. Okay. So next one that we're going to try.
Story time.
Tell us.
I have a topic worthy of discussion, and I would say that there was probably some beer involved in this story, although there wasn't in this write up. So. Because this is about a man who steals a backhoe for a 10-mile drive to an Illinois airport just to catch a flight.
Still a backhoe.
Dedication,
that's
folks.
That's right. A Southern Illinois man has been charged with theft for allegedly stealing a backhoe to drive about 10 miles to an airport to catch a flight, authorities said. Security camera footage shows a Carbondale man arriving at the Veterans Airport of Southern Illinois atop a backhoe and leaving it in the airport parking lot Thursday, the Williamson County Sheriff's Office said. Footage captured the man walking across the street from the lot to the airport lobby carrying a guitar case, the Sheriff's Office said. The owner of the backhoe arrived at the airport a short time later and identified the equipment as belonging to his company, the Sheriff's Office said. The owner said the machine, typically used to remove large debris, had been parked at a job site. Did he call Uber?
That's just typical of Carbondale, though.
Yeah.
Southern Illinois University.
I'm looking at Barger because he works with these people all day long.
Yeah, these construction guys, man, when it's time to go, it's time to go.
If your car won't start.
That's right.
I'm just taking the backhoe.
Your phone's dead, you know? You just got to go.
You know, I wondered how well he parked. Did he was staying right inside the lines? I mean,
yeah, I wonder if he like left it right out front, like at the drop-off.
You know, yeah. I think probably the biggest part of the story that's missing is I want to know what the guitar was. Was he late to a gig or something?
It probably wasn't even a guitar. It was probably just all of his clothes, and he wanted to look important.
Because he couldn't find his luggage.
He couldn't find luggage. He
couldn't find his luggage at all. So he decided to take his guitar.
He takes his cousin's, you know, guitar that's living with him.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I... there's just so many parts of the story that, you know, I mean, did he take a parking ticket, you know, so he would, when he got back home, he didn't have to pay for parking.
And would they even validate it?
You know, what happened when he got back? So did they charge him with theft as he was at the airport and then he let, you know, him go on to his gig, or they, you know, they arrested him after he got back home and said, well, I hope you played well because you're under arrest.
I wonder what they even did to him. Did they charge him with something?
I don't know, but I'd love him as a client. I know Justin could get him off. So, you know,
for sure.
Oh, yeah. He would totally walk into Tort and go, you know, look, what law did he violate, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's not really any laws to violate.
He didn't take the
backhoes. You can drive them on public roads.
What was in the sign up that says, don't take my backhoes?
Well, isn't that Grand Theft Auto?
I think after a certain amount of money, which a backhoe is pretty expensive. But.
Yeah, see, that's just it. It's not an automobile, so that would not technically work.
Right.
Yeah, got to pay attention in law school. Details count.
Yeah. I see.
And if the farmer got it back in the condition that it left in, I mean, what are you going to do?
Is that hold true for like a farmer's daughter?
That depends. Which daughter? I mean,
as long as you get her back in the same condition.
Well, I mean, maybe he was playing the tune while he was, you know, on the backhoe. Maybe it's the backhouse, the backhoe blues.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Rimshot. Come on. That's
fine. That cheapens the rimshot.
And that is my...
That's Mike's forte, though. Come on. Don't take it from him.
That's my topic worthy of discussion. So back to the beer.
Thank you. All right.
Wow. That's... Yeah.
Up next, we have Petrin 11 Degrees, a Polotmave lager, which means half dark. Oh. And it's from Schilling Beer Company in Littleton, New Hampshire.
Yes.
Say New Hampshire like New Hampshire people say.
New Hampshire.
So, following a traditional Czech mash and decoction schedule, and brewed with 100% Czech-sourced ingredients, the amber lager displays notes of biscuit, honey, and toasted almonds with a little hint of floral freshness.
Where? I don't get that at all.
You said the word Czech a lot. That's a real Czech mix.
Yes. I don't taste biscuits. There's no gravy in this. Can't have biscuits without gravy. What is this, sacrilege?
There's just something about a good lager. Like, I just...
This is very astringent to me. It's
I'm not a fan.
It's like in the middle of the palate. It's very metallic and astringent, and it's just like eight things fighting with each other. You know, that it's like, please get out of here. No. You're going to be part of the victim. Stay in here.
Well, I kind of feel like that too. Yeah. Like when your first taste on it, It's very crisp on the taste buds on the palate, but then immediately it goes into like attacking itself.
Right.
And then it's very malty finish, which is not characteristic of a lager for me anyway.
Well, what I'm thinking maybe is that they needed a diacetyl rest. Yes, I can say that.
You can.
Ooh.
Yes.
Thank you for enunciating.
You with those big 25-cent words.
Yeah. Diacetyl.
Can you spell it? Put the S in diacetyl.
Rimshot. Yeah. Thank you.
Because that would explain kind of the sulfur. There's a little sulfur aspect.
I'm going to give you your own personal rimshot button over there.
I have my own effects over here, you know?
Which here, means if you...
Give
if you
the mic.
There you go. Whoa!
He really does have, you know, I really have my own over here. Wow, this is pretty cool. Excellent. You know what? I hear the applause. Don't you hear the applause for me, Dave?
Is that the official Sip Suds and Smokes ticker?
I've created a monster.
Yeah, for sure.
Freaking doom now.
I can hear everybody now going. No, never hand this to me ever again.
Oh, don't worry. We never will.
There it is.
That's all I wanted. I wanted you to feel special.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, he's special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Reverend Mark.
Yeah. Isn't that special?
Tell us about your diacetyl.
Special. Right. Back to the diacetyl moment.
My diacetyl needs a little rest.
Yeah. You know what? That gets the rest. You know. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's... pretty good. I do get a little bit of a astringent flavor down the line there, but
Dave agrees with me.
Yes,
and it hurts me physically.
What is going on here?
Yes, I agree.
Well, what do you think, Juliana?